that, I mean, it's just line upon line, precept upon precept. You got your scriptures, all your ducks are in a row, and you're like, woohoo, we know where we're going. This is good. That's one I would call a high-powered rifle shot. Y'all know what that does, right? That is to pinpoint with laser beam accuracy on something. Well, mine is not like that this morning. And yours may not either be at some times. This morning, I believe that mine is going to be one that, y'all ever used buckshot before? You can actually, with buckshot, you can be aiming right under and you hit something over there. Why? Because when you shoot it, it's got like little BB things in it, and the further it goes, the more that it spreads out. That's what we got this morning. Why? God's going to hit everybody. Instead of pinpoint accuracy, we got everybody this morning. So I don't know necessarily where I'm going. I mean, I got two pages of scriptures and different things like that. And when you have those messages that are, you got them written down and everything is good, you still better walk and be up here by faith. Why? Because you better know you heard from God and that He's leading you and guiding you while you're up here, whatever you're doing at the time. But then when you don't have all of that, you still do it by faith. That when you get up here, when you're ministering to somebody, God may have you tell somebody something that seems so off the wall to you at different times. I mean, I've had that happen, and sometimes I didn't do it because I thought, ah, God, I don't think I should tell them that. You know, are you sure this is right? But how many knows, you don't know people outside away from you. You don't know the things that goes on in their hearts and in their minds and all kinds of things like that, but God does. So now, dealing with desire. I looked up the word desire in the New Webster's Dictionary. Let me get my glasses on here. I'll tell y'all what it says. It says, eagerness to obtain or enjoy, aspiration, longing, a request to obtain. The object of desire could be love or lust, to wish for the possession or enjoyment of, to covet. Now, I know the Bible says for us not to covet, but then also in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1, he says covet spiritual gifts. It means just a strong desire is what that word means. It says covet, to ask, to petition. Psalms 34, 4 and 5, if you can put it on the screen, Zach. But notice what that said, an eagerness to obtain or enjoy. I figured we all would know what desire was, but I wanted to look it up anyway. He says, I sought the Lord, and He heard me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto Him and were lightened. That's not it. Psalm 37. Did I tell you 34? I'm sorry. Psalm 37. I thought that ain't right. Psalm 37, verse 4 through 5. He says, delight thyself. That word delight means to be like moldable and pliable. You're like Play-Doh. God can form you, take you apart, put you back together, make you something else. He says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. Now, I truly believe that verse 4 is a twofold scripture. If I am delighting myself in the Lord, I'm seeking Him, going after Him, and doing the things that causes a strong relationship, I believe He's going to put His desires on the inside of me. That it will not be my desires or desires of the flesh, but they'll be the desires that He has for me. And then He says, and if I'll commit my way unto Him, He's the one that'll bring them to pass. Where without Him, how many knows, every one of us got your own desires. Why? The Bible says, according to Scripture, that before we was born again, we yielded and walked in the lust of them. So, I mean, every one of us, and even after you get born again, your flesh still has desires. I don't know if y'all have noticed or not. The day that I got born again, I mean, things changed. My heart was different. Some of my desires was different. I wanted to go to church. I wanted to read the Bible. But at the same time, there was some things in there that I still had desires for that was not the will of God or the purpose of God or anything. Now, let's go back over there to, we read it last week, but I want to read it again right quick. Not that one. Well, I'm thinking it's 1 Corinthians. Is it 1 or 2 Corinthians 5? that it talks about all things are become new. Y'all don't remember? I always get mixed up whether it's first or second. Second, that's where we want to go. I believe it's 2 Corinthians 5. Glory to God. Yeah, I think so. Yeah, verse 14. He says, for the love of Christ, notice that it says constraineth us. We're going to talk about that here in just a little bit, but I don't want to get ahead of myself. He says, for the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, that just means mankind, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given unto us the ministry of reconciliation. But notice that. He says, behold, all things are become new. He says, and all things are of God. Well, you know as well as I do, everything after you got born again in your mind and in your flesh was not of God. So he's got to be talking about that everything is new and everything is of God is inside your regenerated, born again spirit man. Now, that's the thing that we have to do. The Bible says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Work out your own salvation. You know, and I've heard that misquoted to people, you know, in other words, mind your own business. Don't be telling me what I should be doing. That's not what he's talking about. Everybody that's been born again, you salvation has come on the inside of you. And if you look up the word salvation, it talks about saved from sin. It talks about healing. It talks about deliverance, freedom, all this other stuff. It's like a package deal. The very second you got born again, you got healed too. Now, it might not be in your physical body. Why? He says all things are new and they're in your spirit. Salvation is locked up in your spirit. Destiny is locked up on the inside of you. And what we have to do is grow and develop and seek in the Lord and our relationship with the Lord, go into good churches, Bible-based churches, listening to good ministers that minister faith and the Word of God. Every message don't have to be on faith, but it needs to be by faith. Why? Because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. God wants faith stirred up in somebody, then it has to be out of a place of faith. I've heard messages. I'm telling you, I felt worse when I left there than when I did. I mean, before I got there. That's not supposed to be. That's not being ministered to by the Spirit. The Bible says, desire the sincere milk of the Word that we may grow thereby. What's he talking about? When we get born again, you are like a newborn baby. You don't know nothing. I don't care if you've even been in church all of your life and you're 50 years old when you get born again. You might know some religion. You might know some scriptures. You might know the way that the church you went to done things. But you don't have revelation of all the scriptures you've got and the true knowledge of God. And a lot of times that has to be broken down because it's not right. Why? You got it when you wasn't even born again. So therefore you can't even see the kingdom of God, the Bible says in John. Right? So I would rather not even have a bunch of that religious junk. First off, God doesn't want us serving him out of religion. I'm going to say this, and it's getting a little ahead of myself, which that's all right. Maybe I'm not ahead of myself. We'll see. Now listen real close. There is times in your relationship with God, we know the things we're supposed to do right for us to, in our relationship with him and in fellowship with one another. According, we went all through that, those scriptures when we was on about the church, right? How we have fellowship with him, the Lord Jesus Christ, and fellowship also with one another. But if I'm making myself go to church for long periods of time, there's something wrong with my relationship with him. If I think about reading my Bible and it feels like I'm going to puke, there's something wrong with my relationship with him. Now, there are times that the flesh may be tired. You may have battled things all week long. You've worked hard and the flesh is tired and it don't really want to go. But on the inside, there's a desire on the inside of you that says, we're going. makes me think of the story when me and Scotty met each other. Now, and this is, I'm relating this over here to the spirit. Because in your spirit, you love God. Your spirit is you. What you're seeing right now, right here, this is not me. The Apostle Paul distinguished between them. He didn't call this body himself, right? He said, my body. In other words, this belongs to me, but it's not me. Well, when I met Scotty, I met him at the skating rink. Most of y'all have heard the story. And anyway, he took me home. Sandy was there, so she let him take me to Tonka and then down to Nectar. And then I got in the car with her and rode on home because of Doris. Can't let Doris know what's going on. We'd be in trouble. Anyway, when I saw Scotty, now I knew his brother. I had went to school with his brother, but I had actually never met Scotty. We'd never been in the same classes because he's actually 4 years older than me, but probably was in class under me. But anyway, I had never met him before, and I didn't know he was Preston's brother or anything like that. But when I saw him, I was attracted to him. Y'all know what I'm saying, right? There's people you see. You think they look good, cute, whatever you want to call it. Then there's other people who are like, man, you better get a bone because, you know, ain't many people going to be following y'all. Y'all know what I'm saying, right? Anyway, so when I saw him, there was a natural attraction to him. I thought he looked good. So I asked this guy that I knew, this friend, for him to come and skate with me. So evidently there was something there. He's just dumb one. He came on. Anyway, so we skated, you know, then it's all over with. Then he takes me to where he takes me and I have to get it. Then he doesn't come back and see me for 2 weeks. Now, during that 2 weeks, I thought about him every now and then. You know, didn't know what happened to him. Didn't know why he didn't come back. Really didn't think a whole lot about it. But I mean, he did cross my mind every now and then, you know, or whatever. But how many is, I could have lived without him and never had another thought about him again. Y'all wonder where I'm going with this. But after that 2 weeks, he came pulling up one night and it's dark. I couldn't see out there because the porch light was on. And I said, Papa, is that you? He said, no, it ain't Papa. After that, he was over at my house every day. I mean, almost every day. You can't get rid of him. If we're going somewhere and Mama says he can't, he tries to go. And if Mama says he can't go, he's in the car behind us. I'm not kidding. She's sitting here. She can tell you. And if he can, he's in the car with us. You know. Well, during this time, what's happening? He had no feelings for me for that 2 weeks. He might have thought I was cute or liked me, whatever. I don't know what the case is. Says he wasn't interested in girls. Well, that only leaves one other. Boys. Anyway, I'm just kidding. I can't help that. What he meant was he wasn't looking for a girlfriend, I guess, is what he meant, you know. But anyway, that's what happened. Well, what happened? He comes back and he begins to spend time with me. I begin to spend time with him. We'd sit out there in the car and talk about from A to Z and everything else and smooch and all kinds of stuff. You know how it goes, right? And we're sitting in the car. Every day we're sitting in the car. Every day we're talking. Every day. You know, I mean, that's when I found out he said he had 16 or 17 brothers and sisters. And all, you're lying. He couldn't even remember all their names that night, Sandy, so I thought for sure he was lying. What am I saying? There is a relationship developing. Now, do I love him at this particular time? Nah, I don't love him. I could have lived without him, but I didn't want to. Y'all know what I'm saying, right? Y'all act like y'all never been on a date, nothing. That's okay. I know better. But anyway, during this time, what's happening? I'm spending time with him. He's spending time with me. We're getting to know each other and all this other stuff. So what's happening? A relationship is developing. And when a relationship is developing, now desires are developing. To the point to where, I mean, he is day and night. Either over at my house, following the school bus. I get off the school bus. He picks me up. We leave. I don't come back for, I don't know, I don't remember how long the first time. I'm not telling you that's the thing to do. I'm just telling you what happened. Why? Now listen to me. Before I met him and fell in love with him, I never done nothing like that. I mean, I got in a little trouble every now and then. I mean, you can ask my boy, what, no major problem or anything like my brother. But anyway, we won't get on him. He's not here to defend himself. But I was a pretty good kid, I think, or whatever. But what happened was, and I was scared of my mama. I mean, you don't say or do nothing now. I'm telling you, she'll smack you and ask questions later if she wants to know something. You know, that's just the way it was or whatever. So I was scared to do a lot of stuff. You don't sneak out the house at night? Absolutely not. You don't know who's going to be standing there when you get back. It's not good. But anyway, going on with the story here, when I met Scotty and we had begun to develop a relationship, I began to, what they say, fall in love with him. And he began to, what they say, fall in love with me. Now, they say you can't know that at 13 and 17. I don't believe that. Love is love. Now, I don't know what all that's supposed to go with, but all I know is I can't live without him. So what happens is, he's over there all the time. We begin to have this desire. And this is the kid part. No sense of responsibility or whatever. I mean, he quits his job. He don't go to work. I don't know how the poor man is living. You know, all this stuff. I get to where I don't go to school. All this kind of stuff. Why? Because I'll get off the bus and he'll pick me. I'll get in the car with him and we leave. I had never done that before, Donnie. And it was my idea. Mama thinks Scotty talked me into this stuff, but it was the other way around. Why? Now, I'm scared of what my mama can do to me. Or might do to me, but at the same time, that love that I have for him, Sandy, is overriding everything else in my life. The fear that I have of her is nothing compared to the desire to be with him. The whatever he is, you know, whether he's got to not eat anything because he don't work or bum money to get gas to come to my house, does not make no difference to him. As long as he gets there, he don't care how he gets it. Y'all understand what I'm saying? Why am I saying it? It's exactly the same way in the spirit. We might like all to think that we're so different, but we're not. We're all created the same way. And you know, it's hard for some people, you know, they see family members or somebody get on drugs and say they got kids or different things or whatever, you know, they quit spending time with their kids, they quit buying their kids things, they don't come around. And sometimes it's hard for people to understand because they're like, don't you care about your kids? They do. They love them. But what's happening? There is a greater desire for something or someone else that is overriding that desire for their kids. Do they love them? Sure they do. But there's something greater. Just like, did I love my mama? Sure I did. Was I scared of my mama? Sure I was. But when I fell in love with him, that overrode everything. I don't care what the school says. I don't care. And I was a good student before then, like school. Before we got married, he got this bright idea. One of his brothers lived in Florida and worked for a big company, made good money. So his brother talked him into coming down there, staying with him, and then when we're going back and we get married, and then we move down there. So he's down there, you know, he's gone for 2 weeks. I'm going to tell the part, I don't know if you ever told it before, dear, but they need to know it. He writes me letters every day after work. He gets in the shower every day and he cries. Y'all can't see him crying, can you? I can have that kind of effect on him. He gets every day after work and he takes a shower and he's crying. Why? He misses me so bad he can't hardly stand it. Well, while he's gone, now I'm going to tell on me. Half the time I don't go to school in that 2 weeks and my mama don't know it till the school calls. I can't go to school, Monty. I can't even think right. I get out of the bed, I get his little picture, and I take it, and I put it on the back of the commode, and I take a shower. I get out of the shower, I get my clothes on, I get my little picture of him off the back of the toilet, and I take it back in the bedroom, and I get my clothes on. Y'all not saying nothing. Why? I can't stand it. I can't hardly eat. I can't hardly sleep. Well, what is it? There's something on the inside of me, a desire for him that is overriding everything and everybody else in my entire life, even my own desires. Now, I didn't get this big by looking at food. So you know good and well, if I can't hardly eat, there's something way greater happening. And I'm not talking about drugs. That's how come I was telling Destiny earlier, I'm going to make you a list. Why? Because when you're in that kind of love, it overrides everything. I saw the warning signs before we got married. There was a couple of times that he grabbed me by my shirt, jerked me around a little, tore the sleeve on my new jacket. I saw those warning signs, Sandy, of abuse, but I overrode them. Why? Because I love him. Now, best I remember, I don't think I ever did anything to him before we got married. Now, after, I'm not putting up with this crap, you know. But anyway, I saw the signs. Why am I saying that? Because that's just natural love. We're not born again. But it's overriding everything in mine and his life. So guess how long it makes it, Johnny, down there in Florida? 2 weeks. After the second week, he comes in, and his mama went down there with him to see her son and all that. After 2 weeks, he comes in and he says, "Mama, I'm going to take a shower. You better pack your bags. I'm Alabama bound." I'm not. She tries to talk him out of it. It will not work. He said, "When I get ready, if you're going home, you better be in the car because I'm out of here." Buddy, she was in the car and ready to go. Why? She knew he meant it. Why? Because that 2 weeks was as long as he could go without that desire of his heart being fulfilled, and that was to see me. Do you realize we're made that way? Y'all notice in your reading how this week, that everything you read this week is exactly what we've been talking about for the last two services? Some of y'all don't because you didn't read your chapter, but that's okay. That's none of my business. But when you don't read your chapter, what you do, the Bible, Jesus himself said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but what? Every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God shall man live." It's amazing to me that we think we can live the life of the Spirit without the Word and without the Spirit. There's no way you can. If you're going to live the life that pleases God, every single minute of every day has to be out of and by and because of your faith and trust in Him. Why? The Bible says in Hebrews, it's impossible to please Him without it. There's no way that but without faith in Him and trust in Him, I can live the Christian life. Why? If I could crucify myself, I would have. If you could crucify yourself, you would have. But the thing that happens is, if you can get in love with Him. See, when I got born again, I told y'all the story about me and Scotty, and I mean, this went on for over a year. Because somehow or another, we had a problem with my birth certificate that seemed to take over a year to get. But anyway, they got a lot faster, evidently, Darce. Oh, anyway, I think it might have been a little hold up on Darce's part about that birth certificate. But anyway, this went on for over a year. And it just got worse and worse and worse. And I mean, I think sometimes, I don't know it for a fact, but I didn't think it at the time, but when I look back now and he tells y'all about covering up with the sheepskins in the car and all that stuff, it's cold, it's wintertime. And somehow or another, on the stretch over there, he conveniently runs out of gas before we get to my house. There's no cell phones. It's dark. I'm not walking. So what you gonna do? You get you a sheepskin in the car and you cover up. How convenient, Johnny. Now I've got to stay out there in the car all night. I can't get home. Y'all not saying nothing. Seems like anything that could make us be together longer, that is exactly what we done. If you got to lie, you just lie. Y'all not saying nothing. Well, it's the same thing that happens whenever you get born again. There's some people, they get born again, and they are so in love with God and so desperate for Him. The Bible says, he that has been forgiven much, he what? He loves much. But there's some people, all they want Jesus for is an add-on to their life to make their life better. And when it's like that, see, I've been married for 36 years nearly. Is it 36, 37, something other? Anyway, you have to count it up. 85 anyway. I think this August will be like 36. But anyway, now I told y'all the story about the love. Scotty can't stand it to be without me and all that stuff, you know, and I can't stand it to be without him. Well, something happened. I told y'all a little bit last week. Somewhere around 8 months after we got married, something happened. It didn't happen overnight. He started thinking about somebody else. He started looking at somebody else. And before you know it, he ain't home. And vice versa. I'm trying to explain the process of this. You don't just wake up. You're not so in love with God till he's overriding everything and wake up one morning and you're not. It's what I'm trying to tell you. There is a process. Just like there's a process to falling in love and a good relationship, there's a process of what they call falling out of love. And if you fall out of love, just like this, there's been times that I've had to tell myself, because we're so different and different things happen and life sets in, that God, I know I love Him somewhere inside of me because I married Him. There's times He has to say that, God, I know I love her, regardless of her attitude or how she is, I married her. Do you understand? There's times that you go through hard things and different things like that, and you don't always feel a strong love for God. That's just the way that is. Love is not a feeling, it's a commitment, but at the same time, there can be feelings that desires that they override everything. Well, when I got born again, hey, didn't nobody have to tell me I need to go to church. I don't understand that. There was something on the inside of me. There was such a desire on the inside of me. And I'm not going to any church. I seen some of y'all flakos before I got saved, and I don't want none of it. I told Scotty, and he was going to a church with his brother, and I told him, I said, if you'll go to Sandy's church, I'll go with you. Now, I didn't know I was being led, but I know that now. But lo and behold, we go to church, and somebody say, don't go to church today. You know, I'm going to come up. Are you kidding me? Don't go to church? Are you serious? If you're coming to see me Sunday, you better have your clothes with you or wait till I get back, because I'm going to church. Why? Just like the desire of love that I had for Him, I had such a desire for and love for God to where I didn't want to miss church. I'm not going to miss church. Whatever I got to do, if I don't get to eat breakfast, I don't eat it. If I don't get to eat supper before I go to church, I'll eat it after, I'll do without. He's not an add-on in my life. I love Him to where He overrides everything on the inside of me. Ain't nobody got to tell me read my Bible. Are you kidding me? I love Him so much. I'm so hungry for Him. I'm reading 10 and 15 chapters a day of the Bible, and I would have read more, but Travis is only like 2 years old, so he has to have a lot of care. You know what I mean? He's got to be played with. He's got to be changed. He's got to be fed. He's got to be everything. He can't do nothing for himself too much. But I'm reading 10 and 15 chapters of the Bible, and that's still not enough to where the next day I get up and I do it all over again. Ain't nobody making me do that. And if somebody told me, you can't read your Bible, are you kidding me? You won't stop me. Why? Because there is such a desire on the inside of me, it's overriding everything else in my life. But somehow or another, after a lot of us have been saved for a while, and our lives are quote-unquote a little better, y'all ain't breaking up everything no more. You ain't on the verge of divorce no more. You do have $5 left over after all of your bills. Something happens. That's the problem. Because now you still got desires in your flesh. You can't get out away from the flesh till you leave here. And it has desires. Now, all those desires are not the same for everybody. They may be absolutely different and may be quite the same for others. But yet they're still there. But he says, look at Romans 8. I'll just read it instead of me saying it. Now, Romans chapter 7, if y'all read that this week, it was in our chapter reading. In chapter 7, he is describing the very conflict between the flesh and the spirit. Did y'all see that? He says, in my inward man, talking about in his spirit, I want to do the will of God. He said, but I find another law working in my members that when I will to do what is right, I do what is wrong. So therefore, it's not me, he says, that's sinning. Right? Y'all remember all of that? Well, here in chapter 8, verse 25 of 7. He says, let's read 24. He says, O wretched man that I am, that is a miserable place. He says, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? He don't say who shall deliver me. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? He says, I thank God, notice, through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. Then you go on verse 1 of 8. There is therefore now no condemnation, that means a judging guilty, to them which are in Christ Jesus. If you've been born again, you're in Him. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now let me read this in Amplified, verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life, which is in Christ Jesus, the law of our new being. Y'all see what he's saying here? There's a law in your flesh, but on the inside, your spirit, born again spirit, there is another law that will supersede and override the law of the flesh. For the law of the Spirit of life, which is in Christ Jesus, ain't found no other place. The law of our new being has freed me from the law of sin and of death. For God has not done what the law could not do, its power being weakened by the flesh, the entire nature of man without the Holy Spirit. I'm reading this from Amplified. Sending his own son in the guise of sinful flesh and as an offering for sin, God condemned sin in the flesh, subdued, overcame, deprived it of its power over all who accept that sacrifice. Talking about the sacrifice of Jesus. So that the righteous and just requirement of the law might be fully met in us who live and move not in the ways of the flesh, but in the ways of the Spirit. Our lives governed not by the standards and according to the dictates of the flesh, notice, but controlled by the Holy Spirit. That we read that last week, that is exactly how Stephen done what he done. That is exactly how Jesus done what he done. He said, I didn't come to do my own will, but I came to do the will of him that sent me. Well, what is the problem then? I would say probably for a lot of the church, not talking about just here, I'm talking about all over, and I'm talking to people, y'all know that, internet and Facebook and all kinds of stuff, that we live so, y'all remember the little illustration that I did with the cup of water that had rocks in it? And when it had everything in it, I said, is this cup full? And y'all said, yeah, right. Y'all remember? It was right on nearly the line right there. Blake had a little hard time not spilling it. Well, when I took out a big rock, it wasn't full anymore, was it? Jesus said, if you're going to save your carnal life, we'll put it that way, your carnal, fleshly life, you're going to lose your spiritual life. But if you, for his sake, you will lose that carnal, natural, fleshly life, you'll gain the spiritual life and life eternal. What does that mean then? That means the things that are on the inside of me that's of the flesh has to come out. How do they come out? He says it's going to come out by yielding to the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus that's on the inside of me now. Well, what's that mean? I've got to get full. Full of what? Y'all ever met somebody say, they're about full of bull? Yeah, I've said that about some people. Why? Because you're full of bull. I don't care if you're a Christian or not. If you're full of bull, you're full of bull. If you're full of your job, you're full of your job. How can we tell? How can you tell by not looking at your gas hand whether or not it's full? You're standing at the gas pump, gunk, 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 gunk. What starts happening when it gets full? It clicks. And what happens if you don't stop it, Johnny? It starts coming out. Why? It's got to go somewhere. It's full. So whatever you're full of, we can see it and hear it, and some of it we don't like it. Well, how am I going to get unfull of the wrong thing? Stop yielding to it, number one. If you're ever going to get rid of something, you got to stop feeding it. Just like this. People are not just born with a problem, an addiction to porn or drugs or alcohol or anything like that. How did they get that? The first time I ever smoked a cigarette, now I always had the desire. I don't know why that is. My sister never did. I mean, just a smell of a cigarette, you're flaring her right up. But as a little kid, I always had the desire to smoke for some reason. I guess that was one of my things inside of me. You know, we're all born with something. But anyway, the first time I smoked a cigarette, I'm going. I thought I was going to die. I can't breathe. Am I addicted? No, good Lord, I'm not addicted. I'm fighting to smoke the thing. Oh, what happened when I smoked the next one? Oh, that goes on for a little. Y'all, listen, just calm down. If you're smokers, I don't care. That's not my point. The first time you ever did a drug, don't tell me you was addicted. And don't, good God, don't ever tell me you got a disease. I'm telling you, that's one of my little things right there. Cancer is a disease. I didn't choose that. I didn't do nothing necessarily, maybe not for it to come on me or whatever. Addiction is not a disease. Now, I understand it changes the brain can matter and all this other crap. I heard a story about a guy. A pastor was telling this story one time that I was listening to. Don't ever think your stuff is worse than everybody else. But anyway, this guy, he was close to getting, I guess he was in his 40s by now. But he had done so much drugs for so long, starting at such a young age, till he couldn't even carry on a normal conversation. I mean, he's just, and I mean, the doctor said that his so to speak, his brain is just fried. Y'all know how some things can do irreversible brain damage to you, you know, to where he can't carry on a normal conversation. Well, this guy, he talks to him and everything over a period of time, and he gets born again. And the guy starts working with him to how to renew his mind and different things. And he loves the Lord, and he starts going after the Lord, and he starts learning Scripture. He starts getting a little better and a little better and a little better and a little better. Till now, you'd never know it. My point to that is, don't ever think you're too far gone or that the devil will lie to you and you're just worse than everybody else. No, please. It's not the case. God can restore, God can bring back all these. I don't know why some people instantaneous begin, when they get born again, walk in their deliverance. Some, they get born again, they never have another desire for a cigarette. Some alcoholics, 10 years, get born again, they never even have another desire for a drink. Where you've got others, they get born again and they'll smoke 5 packs a day more than they did before they got saved. I don't know why that is. But I do know for every one of us, that salvation, that freedom, that deliverance has come on the inside of us. But me living so doggone close and carnal to the world as I very well can and still go to heaven is not going to help me come out. I can be born again, but stuff those desires. Why do you think that we tell y'all all the time, be careful what you listen to? It's not sin to listen to that other kind of music, but it can take you to sin. I had a thing happen actually just this week. I was on Facebook. You know how you'll be scrolling through Facebook and sometimes a little ad or something other has put up a song or something other on there. Well, anyway, I clicked on this one, and it was a song back from the day. From the day of what? Sin. That's all I can tell you. Well, I started listening to that because I used to like the song. And I was just listening to it, you know. Well, all of a sudden, I'm not really paying no attention. I'm just scrolling through Facebook, and that happened. Well, that song made me think of another song that I liked at the time. So I got on YouTube, and I punched in, and I looked up that song. And I listened to it, and by the time that song finished, I feel something, Johnny. I feel the same way that I felt all those years ago when I heard that song. And when I felt that, that's a warning sign to me, because I know. And I said, oh no, I know exactly what you're trying to do. You want me to feel like this, so I will think and do that. Why? Because the majority of Christians, I hate to say it, go by how they feel, not walk and live by faith. So he thinks if he can get me to feel a certain way and think a certain thing, Joyce Myers has a saying, wherever the mind goes, the man follows. I don't stay married to Scotty for these 30-something years, not because I love him and the desire for him don't override everything else. No, there's no way. Not for 30-something years. Just like going to church. Then when I started backsliding, yeah, sure, I still kept going to church for a while. But over a period of time, there's something else drawing my attention, and I just keep making myself. After a while, I don't make myself no more. Y'all act like y'all don't have a clue what I'm talking about. God doesn't want that. That's hard. That's religion. He tells you do everything on the outward right, but it's okay about the inward. No, God says, I don't care if the outward's wrong right now. Start yielding and submitting to the inward, and it'll change the outward. But religion just is what we can see and hear. But God deals with the things on the inside of us that changes us. And once we're changed on the inside and that begins to come out, the salvation, it starts to change the way we think. It starts to change the way we talk. It starts to change the way that we do things. But that's not what religion says. It says change the outward, man, and we won't worry about the inward. Well, you can't live that way for long periods of time. And God doesn't want us living that way. So what do we have to do? We're going to have to begin to get so full of Him. To where, just like I said, that desire that Scotty had for me, and it's even a greater way, I mean, because the agape love of God, it's not like natural. Now, natural will make you not eat, sleep, do with all the way up with your money, whatever the case may be. And the spiritual is even greater than that. And the Bible says God is love. So what do I have to do then? Well, I told y'all last week. Things get on the inside of you by what you see, by what you hear, by what you think about, by what you talk about, by what you feel, if you let it in. Just like this. Say a guy or a woman, they say nowadays women actually is a little worse than the guys, has a problem with porn. If you're ever going to stop having a problem with porn, you got to stop watching it. You're not ever going to stop the problem without you cut it off. Why? Because it's a life source to it. It's still getting in you. If you hit your hand with a hammer and you've not cussed for a long time and you cuss and you're like, I don't know where that come from. See what you've been watching on TV. Why? Because things gets on the inside of us. We're not even aware it's on the inside of us. But if I'm going to get more of Him, I have to empty myself out, and that's by my own choice. He says, for me to draw near unto God, and He'll do what? Draw near unto me. God has come and filled me up as much as He possibly can. Just like the glass, when it's full and it's full of rocks and water, where is He going to put more of Himself? There is nowhere. So I have to get rid of me. And if I'm ever going to get rid of more of me, then I'm going to have to cut the head off and stop feeding a lot of junk that's on the inside of my life and spend time with Him and His Word till I get to the point to where I so love Him, I don't care. Slap me, beat me, whatever. There's nothing you can do with me. And I got to stop actually because time is up. Does anybody have anything they would like to share?